Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You can't count on much these days.
No way, Jim! This is incredible!
But you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount+.
Here we go! This time for real!
Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday, starting with a classic Week 1 NFC North rivalry between the Lions and the Packers. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today and count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount+.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Nick, it's a pleasure to have you. I don't believe we've ever spoken before. You're a recent graduate of Slippery Rock. Am I right about that?
No.
Nick, limits will never let us forget that fine moment. How are you? Is he there?
I am doing well, Joe. And yeah, he will never let us live it down, will he? He does it every time I come on with him or you.
I think it's a tradition.
It was actually a great moment. We have a lot to talk about here. I just got handed some statistics about the Steelers' season. They've been outgained by opponents, this is from Warren Sharp, Sharp Analysis, by 417 yards this season. The only team that's been outgained worse is the Titans, yet, Sharp says, they're 2-1 and why? And the clear answer for him is turnovers. They have 27 points off turnovers. They have allowed 0 points off turnovers, and this continues a trend. But there's also a larger question mixed in here, Nick. We had a caller yesterday who wonders if this turnover culture, the obsession with turnovers, as advantageous as it clearly is, also sometimes costs the Steelers in tackling technique and such things. I don't even know what my question is. Where do you stand on all of that? How the hell are they 2-1 being outgained the way they are? And what about the turnover culture and the obsession with it?
Yeah, I mean, they're 2-1, large part because of turnovers. They're also elite red zone offense right now. They are second only behind the Philadelphia Eagles in red zone offense and touchdown percentage. Mm. So when they get the red zone, they score. And I think that's a big thing. And so they are like winning on the margins in the weirdest ways. Here's the thing about turnover culture. I think every team wants lots of turnovers, and I think every team tries to do that. There are lots of really elite defenses, Joe, that don't actually turn the other team over. There's a lot of really good defenses that don't do that. The Steelers, I think, are correct in the way they do that. I actually think they're struggling and tackling for a few reasons. I think, one, this defense isn't very fast. I think it's a slower defense than it is in years past. Like, last year they were great. I thought they were a fast defense, but they had other issues across the way. And I really think communication's the big area where they are struggling with. I don't know why they keep struggling with communication. I get it. They're kind of putting in new blitzes, and they're trying out different things on the back end with coverages. But Brian Flores, and if you ever watch Brian Flores in Vikings game, you see them move around and do so many different things. Well, he had new personnel too, and they're fluid already through 3 weeks. They're not busting coverages out there. So why does it take 4 weeks, 5 weeks to install new things when you've had 3 to 4 months? And I think that's been the biggest thing. Missed tackles, I think, are oftentimes very much kind of a volatile statistic. They often come up and come down. The Steelers generally, I think in some of their moves this offseason, just did not prioritize tackling. Juan Thornhill is not a good tackler, for example, and he's one of the guys that is high on that list. So I don't think turnover culture is the reason they struggle. I do think, though, the communication issues, the coaching of how that is installed, however that is, and kind of the way they utilize some of their players, because some of them are out of position, is far more of a bigger issue than, say, the turnover culture taking away from other things like tackling.
I think the turnover culture is the single biggest reason that they've stayed afloat here recent years. Yeah. Their actual record is not great over the last 4 years, including the playoff debacles. They're 40-33-1 with a minus point differential. If you look at every deep analytic, they've actually outplayed what their record should be based on analytics. And I think the turnovers are the only logical reason for that. You know what I mean? Like their heads are barely above water as it is, Nick.
It 100% is. And Mike Tomlin, I tweeted the statistic out on Sunday, is 106-65-2 in one score games. That's absurd. Like, do you know how hard it is to win one score games at that clip? And over, I think, the past 4 years, I believe he is right now 15 games over 500 in one score games. Again, absurd statistic. And the reason is he has this kind of formula he uses on the margins, and turnovers are such a huge part of that. Big plays in terms of sacks, TJ Watt and Cam Hayward and those likes have certainly contributed to that. Just having negative plays, even though they give up big plays and they don't have a ton of big plays on the other side of the ball. Really, it's come down to not turning the ball over much, right? When they had Kenny Pickett, that offense was tough to watch, but what did they not do? They didn't turn the ball over very much. And so they put these teams on long fields and they got turnovers on defense. And that's the margin game. And that's why they're 9-8, 10-7, 8-8. But they're still getting blown out in the playoffs because it's not necessarily always an equalizer against really good talent.
Right.
Because these guys in the playoffs generally are good at taking care of the football. How else do they get there? Really, when you look at their kind of formula to beat the Ravens before last year when they lost twice, Lamar Jackson and that offense just turned the ball over a lot. That's why they won those games. And so, yeah, that's been a big part of their formula, and that's why they're staying afloat. But to what end? To what end?
Well,
is there really a tangible outcome?
Yeah, that's the question. Although I've watched two of the Ravens' three games, and they got their own set of questions. I'm sure you saw the game last night. You probably saw the game against Buffalo. The Steelers, you know, they win this week. They go to 3-1. The Ravens are in Kansas City. You can build a nice little two-game lead early in the season and really give yourself a realistic shot at the division. What do you think of the Ravens, and what do you think of the Steelers' chances in this division, given the Ravens' struggles and given the fact that Cincinnati, I think anyway, is done?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think the Ravens, their schedule's going to get easier, so I think that will help, and they're a very good team still. I think there's no doubt about it. I think what we are seeing right now in a large part is, one, their defensive backfield, their coverage, yikes. Marlon Humphrey looks rough this year.
He does.
They don't really have an answer next to Kyle Hamilton. Roquan Smith has taken a noticeable dip, and they've had some injuries up front, and I think that's been a big thing. And I don't think their scheme's that good. I'm not a big Zach Orr fan, who's their DC. So they're susceptible defensively. Offensively, I think they are still – generally pretty good, but their O-line has some questions to answer too. So they are susceptible. I will say that. I think they are not as good as they were last year. Certainly the wagon that the Steelers faced, I think in the wild card round, they are not. I do think the Steelers have some favorable things on their schedule. They have a lot of bad teams coming up. They have backup quarterbacks twice. They face the Browns twice, just like the Ravens do. But those all work in the Steelers' favor. And sure, the Steelers have tough games against the Bills, the Packers, the Lions, and the like. But the Ravens have to face those teams too. And the Steelers have some soft teams built into their schedule that are going to allow them to pad some wins. And I think that is something that if they can stay afloat, at least gives them a chance. I still think, and I will say this right now, I still will give the Ravens the edge. I just think that they have more firepower. I'll probably bet more on Lamar to at least win the division in the regular season. But let's be real. The Bengals right now, that defense isn't very good. Jake Browning is going to sink eventually. And the Browns, I mean, look at the Browns offense. The Browns offense is terrible. So I think the Steelers do have a legit chance here if they can keep it up on the margins. 11-6 might win you the division. It might. So we'll see if they can get there.
Sports Talk on the Fan, presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday, all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Nick Faribault from PennLive.com. So if I gave you the choice right now to face J.J. McCarthy or Carson Wentz, we know the Steelers are going to see Wentz. Which one would you choose? Like, do you think they would have been better off with McCarthy in there?
I mean, McCarthy has more ability to win with his legs, which I think has been an issue for the Steelers. And Wentz played well last week, but has – I call it a kind of a chaos gene, which is he can throw the game away. I think McCarthy doesn't have that necessarily in him. He just kind of has a gene where they don't do anything more than anything. But Wentz will throw picks and fumble and is susceptible to really bad plays.
Yeah.
Like if there's a quarterback that's going to throw the Steelers the game to them, it's going to be Carson Wentz. So I actually think I would probably rather have Carson Wentz. I think McCarthy is a young player that's growing and you never know when it's going to click like that. And his mobility is a different factor for the Steelers, and they've struggled with the mobility so far this year with Fields and May when they faced them. So I'll take Wentz, even though when Wentz is good, he can be – he has the higher highs, but he can throw the game away. And so, you know, this is a really good Vikings team, and the roster's better than the Steelers. But if you're looking at why would they win, I mean, Carson Wentz could easily throw them two or three picks and get them rolling in a really good direction.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You can't count on much these days.
No way, Jim. This is incredible.
But you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus.
Here we go. This time for real.
Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday, starting with a classic Week 1 NFC North rivalry between the Lions and the Packers. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today and count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Earlier today, Nick, we were talking about the disappearance of Pat Freiermuth, the $12 million man. They just signed him before last season, and he's playing less than he ever has in his whole career, 56% of the snaps. What's happening there?
What's happening with the whole tight end room is really the question, Joe. It's not just Pat. I mean, Pat definitely has not been utilized at a high level. He and Rodgers are clearly not on the same page. I mean, you saw that third down where he was supposed to sit down and Rodgers got on him. And then the next time they tried to hook up on a third down, Rodgers threw it behind him. And there's not a great chemistry there. But the whole tight end room right now is not being used a lot. John U is barely being used. He's kind of just become a screen, pop pass, jet sweep guy. Darnell's only getting seam balls and balls that are in the red zone on fades. This is a tight end room that they invested a lot in, and they're playing the most two tight end sets in the league. They're playing the fourth most three tight end sets in the league. But, Joe, all they're doing is going out there and blocking, really, and running cardio right now. The passing game has largely been through Jalen Warren and DK Metcalf. Metcalf has received a lot of targets, though those haven't always been productive either. And so with Freiermuth, I think the specifics with him are they are kind of utilizing him more in line as a blocker right now because Smith is kind of the more receiver type. So he's getting the more manufactured touches. And what's happening with Muth is when he is actually running routes, I think it's clear right now he and Rodgers do not have a great rapport. And so it just hasn't been productive. And he's had opportunities. I mean, he dropped the ball against the Seahawks on that beautiful pass. And then he had two opportunities here against New England. And one was on him, one was on Rodgers. So that's got to get worked out. But this team needs to utilize the tight ends more, period. All three of them should be utilized way more than they are.
And then there's DK Metcalf and getting the ball down the field. And it certainly appeared to me, and I want to get your thoughts on this, Nick, that the game plan, perhaps, or simply the way Rodgers went into this game with a certain mindset, was all about protecting and insulating an offensive line that has been overmatched. In other words, I don't think he wanted to get killed in this game. So the design appeared to be, let's get rid of the ball really quickly so this team that leads the NFL in sacks doesn't dismember me.
That's part of it. The O-line has been overmatched. They played, as you mentioned, tons of quick game. No player in the NFL has thrown more passes behind the line of scrimmage than Aaron Rodgers this year. He leads the league in that. He leads the league in passes thrown underneath 10 yards, too. So they, lots of quick game, ton of screens. The screen game has just been utilized a ton in this one. With Metcalf, it's really been either go balls down the sideline or screens and nothing in between. It's kind of interesting. Their design right now in the gun, whenever they go into shotgun or empty, it's all the Rodgers Jets stuff. It's all the same stuff you saw last year in New York. And then when they get under center, it's all Arthur Smith. But it's only the bootleg stuff, right? It's not the drop-back passing game. It's not the actual kind of fullness of his play-action game. I think the offensive line's part of it. I think the fact that they don't really know personally how to utilize all the personnel together is part of it. The fact that they can't run the ball well, I think, is a big part of it as well. So the offensive line has been a significant issue. I also just don't think Arthur Smith has taken chances yet. And I think at some point you need to take chances and see what happens. It's been conservative play calling, I think, in a large part of that. And that's probably Aaron asking for that too. But I'd be interested to see if they can get a downfield passing attack going. I mean, Rodgers' average depth of target in their two wins, Joe, is 4.4 yards and 5.1 yards. It's just not a sustainable model.
Yeah.
It reminds me a lot of the 2021 Big Ben offense that we saw, the kind of short yard stuff. Teams would come up and start playing it.
Right.
It's not sustainable. So they got to get a deep passing game going. They got to get a downfield passing attack going. And that doesn't mean they have to throw deep posts 30 yards down the field. I'm just asking for a 15-yard dig. I'm asking for a 15-yard slant here and there. So they need to mix up this passing offense. Even if they don't trust the O-line, they have to try it. They need to see what happens because this offense is going to hit the sputters sooner rather than later if they don't.
Yeah, and that was my thought when Rodgers signed, was it's going to be very similar to late-stage Ben. And honestly, I think that's what it's been. But in a related story to the offensive line issues, the run game is averaging 2.8 yards per attempt. We had a caller today say, where is Caleb Johnson? Where is he? They drafted him, and all we heard through all training camp was this is the perfect guy for Arthur Smith's zone scheme, and you're going to see this guy early in the season. Where is he? I like Jaylen Warren. I don't think Jaylen Warren is a number one back. That's my thought. I think he's really good coming out of the backfield. I think he's a third down back. He's averaging 3 yards a carry, and the running game is at 2.8. Where is Caleb Johnson?
He's in his own head. That's where he is. And I truly believe that. This is a kid thinking way too much. You watch how he reads his runs from the preseason. Watch how he tries to get into pass pro. Watch everything. The fumble gaffe in the Seahawks game. We're talking about a guy so far in his own head right now. He needs to get out of that. There's something going on, I think, in his head. You can tell the game's just been too fast for him when the live ball has kind of been rolled out there in games. He hasn't processed at the same level he did in college. There is something about that to be said. Now, what you could say to me is, well, he needs to play in order to get up to speed. And I think that's something to be said, too, because in practice, he looks good. So I need to see that come along. I think that's a post-bye thing, but I think that's why you're not seeing Caleb right now is – he is a guy that is just so in his head in terms of the processing part of it, both in pass pro, receiving, running the ball with vision, all of that, that they are not putting him on the field because they're terrified he's going to mess up. If a guy's in his own head, you know, there's an issue there. So, and Warren's been playing so well in terms of the receiving game,
yeah,
where he has at times been their entire offense. So that has been kind of the big thing, I think, with the Steelers is, you know, Warren has been such a big part of their yak game when they just throw the screens and throw the flat that it's okay for Caleb to take a little bit of time right now. But he needs to They need to slow his mind down. His mind is moving 500,000 miles a minute right now. It is going haywire, and he just needs to slow down and calm down.
Nick, I know you got to get to the news conference, which we're going to carry live at the top of the hour, so I'll let you go. Really appreciate it. Great stuff, man.
All right, thanks for having me on, Joe. Appreciate it as always.
That is Nick Carabaugh. Farabaugh. Got him mixed up with the Harbaugh
Oh, my word.
Brothers. Every Nick time Harbaugh. He's on, there's a name malfunction or a school malfunction.
Yeah, it happens.
Nick, it's a pleasure to have you. I don't believe we've ever spoken before. You're a recent graduate of Slippery Rock. Am I right about that?
No.
What a great man, though. He's going out, he's going out to Ireland.
He didn't tell me that. Limits, you should have prepped me for the interview. You didn't even tell me that.
He told me that before.
Oh, well. He'll see Crowley. Are they already friends, or will they become friends?
I think they should become friends on this trip, yeah. Maybe they could share a pint together.
When I was in Ireland, at the end of the night in the bar, this was 1997, they would sing the Irish national anthem when the lights came on.
Really?
Last Call. Last Call was accompanied by everyone in the bar singing the Irish national anthem. It was unbelievable.
Could you imagine, like, bars in the south side of the North Shore? All right, everybody, let's do the Pledge of Allegiance, or let's all stand.
I love it.
Salute the flag for the national anthem at 2:00 in the morning.
Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Coming up, well, the Mike Tomlin news conference at the top of the hour, which should be mighty interesting with the Steelers getting ready to go to Ireland. But before that, I think there's a pretty gigantic hockey story brewing around here. And who better to broach that with than Steigy? We'll talk about that next on I Almost Said Cookin' Joe. But no, it's Pompin' Joe. And you can tune in to our YouTube channel and see Pomp's cardboard cutout. It's the greatest and most realistic cardboard cutout I've ever seen, although Pomp does appear to be armless in the cutout.
He has a great smile, though, Joe.
Oh, it's
great
smile. It's perfect.
He's glowing.
Yeah, check us out on our YouTube channel. Meantime,
listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You can't count on much these days.
No way, Jim! This is incredible!
But you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount+.
Here we go! This time for real!
Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday, starting with a classic Week 1 NFC North rivalry between the Lions and the Packers. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. And count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount+.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
FanDuel's getting you ready for the NFL season with an offer you won't want to miss. New customers can bet just $5 and get $300 in bonus bets if you win. That's right. Pick a bet $5, and if it wins, you'll unlock $300 in bonus bets to use all across the app. You can build parlays, bet player props, ride the live lines, whatever your style, FanDuel has you covered. The NFL season's almost here. The only question is, are you ready to play? Visit FanDuel.com/sportsfan to download the FanDuel app today and get started.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.